for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 25th, 2011. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the evening, teaching on healing.
I guess without further ado, Sister Carla B. Todd will come. She's our girlfriend from Jasper, Texas, and is...
It's an honor to be here. I'd just like to pray and have you pray along with me. I'm going to say it and then y'all say it so that we can put the host of hell at bay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit of the witch, every spirit of the wizard, every spirit of the warlock, and the witch doctor. We bind every spirit working from the kingdom of darkness against us, the kingdom of God, this campground, our families back home, and we send out the warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments against us. In Jesus' name, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, if one can put to flight 1,000, and two can put to flight 10,000, you do the math, because I can't. Anyway, it's good to be here, and I am thankful. Love that song, Look What the Lord Has Done. He touched my body, He healed my mind. That is my confession, because there was a time that I was wondering about my mind and my body as well. And Jesus is the answer. I don't care what you're here for. He is the answer. His shed blood was a finished work. And so tonight, I wanted to talk about healing. That was one of the first things that the Lord convinced me of. Had three little babies, and they were sick all the time. Had a three-year-old, a two-year-old, and a newborn, and I was sick all the time as well. I had chronic sinus infections that were inherited down the family bloodline on my daddy's side. I had a curvature of the spine. Don't know where that came from, but I can tell you it wasn't from God. And that dealt me some misery. And before I was saved, I was in the process of having the surgery when I got saved. And had a brother who had been saved before me, and he told me that God could take my fear so that I could have the surgery, because I was really scared of needles. I had lots of hang-ups and fears and phobias, and God delivered me from all of those as well. He just has blessed my life so much. And so whatever you came here hoping for, don't lose your hope. I'm going to start, let's see, the book of James was the first book I read after I got saved. There was a lot in that book. James tells you like it is. I mean, he just shoots from the hip. And he's he doesn't miss the target. And so there were a lot of scriptures in this book as a brand new baby Christian that really spoke to me, because I had a problem with my tongue. I wasn't much of a cusser, but I cursed with my tongue. I was constantly criticizing and cutting people down and speaking words of death. And I had a sharp tongue. I had a fart tongue. And it did... damaged my own self quite a bit. But, you know, as we shoot those words out. We have no idea the power of those words. And he showed me in chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell." Now, if you think about setting on fire the course of nature, that is very powerful. It sets on fire the course of nature so that when we release words, there is a power behind those words to go and cause those words to do just what they say. That really impressed me because I had said to my brother out of anger one time, "Oh, go break your neck." And that evening, playing football in the yard, broke his neck. It didn't paralyze him, you know, it was broken, it was a fractured neck. But I mean, I learned very quickly to watch my tongue. There were other things I can't think of offhand, but that one will always stay with me. But there were many, many. Watched my cousin one time. We couldn't have been very old, 8 or 9 years old, and my mother, it was Thanksgiving and the whole family was over there. We had a big family too. I've got 11 cousins and then three, myself and my two brothers. There were 14 cousins around and Mom was cooking and she had a Pyrex, glass Pyrex double boiler. And she had water in the bottom of it and cheese on top. And my cousin was standing at the stove and that water was boiling. And she's looking at that water and she said, "Seems like that pot would break." And my mother explained to her, "Well, this is a special kind of glass that you can, you know, put on the burner and cook in it." And might have been Corningware, I can't remember which one it was, but you could cook on top. You could put it to the direct fire and it wouldn't hurt it. And she just kept saying, "Seems like that pot would break. I just don't see how glass could do that. It just seems like that ought to just bust." And it went, "Push." I'm serious. It busted. Now see, our words, we just do not realize the power of our words. And in our tongue is the power of life and death. We can speak words of life or we can speak words of death. Okay. I don't know why all that came out, but anyway, James 5:14 is the scripture that I read when I was in my early days of being saved. And it said, "Is any sick among you?" Is there any sick among us here tonight? Any sick among us? Sometimes I think the easier question would be, is there any well among us that does not have any infirmity in their body? "Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Well, I stopped right there and I went, "Wow, Lord, wouldn't that be wonderful if it was really like that?" And he said, "What do you mean, if? This is my word, and you either believe it or you don't." Well, I felt like I had to make a decision. Well, Lord, if it says it in your word, I will believe it. Now, I had already read over in chapter 1, 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." A lot of serious stuff in that book of James. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." You deceive your own self if you hear it and you don't do it. That's deception. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So, I decided that day that if God said it, I would believe it. And I would do it. So I committed myself, my husband, and our three children to the Lord. The first time one of mine got sick, I called the church and wanted to speak to the elders. Like they're sitting around with a sign on, you know. But you know, I'm a real literal person. When someone says something to me, I believe it. If Mike were here, he would say, that's why I married her, because she believes everything I say. But really, I did. I mean, I grew up in a family. My dad was a man of his word. And if he said it, you better believe it. If he said, if you do this, I'm going to spank you, and you did it, you got to spank him. And he meant what he said. So it was easy for me to read this and believe it. My daddy was a good example of my heavenly father in the good way too. My daddy was, he loved me and I knew it. And then when he was dying, I had to transfer that, who he was to me, I had to transfer that to my heavenly father. It was an easy transition because my daddy was a good example to me about God's love. He was loving, but he was just. And he would chasten it, those that he loved. So I tried to do what he said, so I didn't need much chastisement, because I didn't like a spanking. Okay, so I committed ourselves to the Lord, and, you know, we stopped getting sick. But not serious. I mean, I didn't have to go to the doctor anymore, but if, you know, a sore throat or whatever. So I'd call the elders of the church, and they said, well, we don't do that here. And I thought, Lord, am I in the right church? So then I read in other places, you know, where we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I just started laying hands myself. Got my oil, anointed my children, prayed for them, and they would get well. Then one day God said, you know what? Not only can I heal you if you get sick, I can keep you. Really? Okay. I'll take it. And then we really did quit getting sick. Well, that was convenient because not long after that, we lost our health insurance. And then we couldn't afford it to buy it. I mean, when you start looking for health insurance, it was going to take a third of his paycheck. So we had to trust God with our health, and you can. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to the doctor. Until I got to that place, I went to the doctor. And I'll tell you, if something happened and I went to the Lord with it and didn't get, if it continued to get worse, I'd go to the doctor, take the medicine. I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor. I'm not condemning you if you do go to the doctor. But I'm just telling you that as Christians, the Bible should be our go-to place. And everything that He has told us, we should believe and do to the best of our ability. But we always can use more faith, exercising our faith and getting to that place where we know that it's going to be all right. Jesus came to right all the wrongs that the devil brought into this world. Now, we know that in the beginning God created and He said it was good. Everything He created, He said it was good. There was nothing bad in the beginning. And then we know that Satan, in the form of a serpent, tempted Eve and Adam and they ate. She ate first, yeah. But she offered it to him who was with her and he also ate. That's not what I'm talking about today. We won't get into that. But as a result, go in Jesus' name. Last time I taught, there was a fly that, and I told it to come sit right here so I could kill it. And the whole church was watching, and it did. And I killed it and stepped on it. I don't know what it is about the flies. Yes. I do. I have a bug anointing. That used to be true. All the bees and everything. I mean, I ran 1 mile down the beach one time because a bee was buzzing around me. There was no shame in making a fool out of myself when it came to anything that could sting me and cause me pain. And everybody just watched. What could they do? Okay, so we know that sickness came in to mankind as a result of the fall of man. Sickness is. I just want you to know that sickness is. Sickness is in the world because of sin. It was released in the garden. And it is forever in this world. Just because we become a Christian does not mean that we're not going to get sick. Because there are viruses and bacteria. And I believe that we can pray and cover ourselves and it's effective. But, you know, if you don't, you might get sick. I'm careful to cover myself. Because there are, and as time goes on, you know, there's those vials or those bowls that are going to be poured out of diseases and different things in the end times. And I believe some of those have already been released. I've just never seen so much cancer in all my life. There is cancer. My neighbor, the night before Thanksgiving, dropped dead of a heart attack, 64 years old, in the feed store. Just like that. And it says that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. And, you know, there are a lot of things that are pressing on people. The economy, health, trouble, just madness in the world. There's so much evil in the world. It says that in the last days that there will be so much evil that it will cause some, their love to wax cold. That's going to be a real bad time. Okay, so Adam and Eve's sin is what brought sickness into the world. Romans 5:18 says, by the offense of one man, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. But likewise, by one man, the justification, Jesus Christ. Okay, we also know that we can inherit sickness from our forefathers. The sins of our forefathers. You know, they can sin and the sickness comes upon them because of their sin. And then the next generation may not commit that same sin, but then there is a familiar spirit of that disease that passes down. Sometimes the same sin gets passed down, but sickness also gets passed down. Exodus 20. Verse 5 is in the Ten Commandments. A jealous God, it says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And that word hate in this scripture means it has to do with loyalty. Those who are disloyal. Hate isn't like what we say hate is. It just means being disloyal to. And we've all been disloyal to God. Before we were saved, we were our own God. That's idolatry. Okay? When you go to the doctor, see, science knows this because they'll give you a form with every disease known to man and they'll have you check off the ones that run in your family. You know why? That's going to give them a head start. What to look for? Because if it was in your father's, it usually is passed down. Grandma had it, Mama had it, I have it, and my children will probably have it. That's what we usually say. Okay, we see cancer, diabetes. Mental illness. Everything known to man is passed down. Okay, disobedience and rebellion will cause sin. In Deuteronomy 28, you can read all of the scriptures. The first 15 are all blessings. Blessed if this, blessed if that, blessed going in, blessed coming out, blessed is your kneading trough, blessed. But then it says if you do not obey, cursed. And there's a bunch. You can go look those scriptures up and read them yourself. You find every disease that is known to man is in those scriptures. If you break down those words that you don't know what they are, they usually mean like hemorrhoids or something. You know, we don't know it means that, but if you look those words up, it's all in there. And so disobedience and rebellion can cause sickness. John 5:14, the impotent man that Jesus healed at the pool of Bethesda. Later he saw him in the temple and he said, behold, thou art whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So we can see that sin can cause sickness. Now, This is, I'm going to mention something here, and I probably will do a complete study and teaching on it at some point. But I ran across something in the scripture that has me wondering and questioning. In 1 John 5:16, it talks about sin that is not worthy of death. Or let me read it so I don't misquote it, because I think this we would benefit from searching this out. It says, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." So see, there is a sin that is unto death. It doesn't tell us what that sin is. But in reading the Old Testament in many places, such as Deuteronomy 17:1 through 6, it speaks of idolatry, worshiping idols and worshiping other gods. And it says that if they are caught and it is found to be true, they will be stoned with stones till they die. So could idolatry be a sin that is a sin unto death? Adultery. If a man and a woman are caught in adultery, they both shall die. Now, you know, Adam and Eve, it said, in the day there that you eat thereof, you shall die. They didn't drop dead, but death came into mankind. And every day, we're told that the day we're born, we begin to die, because death is in us. Death. We're going to take care of death tonight. The curse of death that came into man. I found it interesting one time reading that scripture that in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, I think, it says that the spirit of the life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And when we go to church and we get saved, we make our confession of faith, that sin issue is dealt with, but not the death issue. I don't hear that death issue taken care of. So I'm going to break that curse of death, because death is the ruler spirit over all infirmity. That's what sickness is. Sickness is to cause you to die. And if it's not taken care of, sometimes it will kill you. Or it can kill your value of life. You know, you can't live like you want to live because of some ailment or some infirmity. In the case of rape, the man is put to death. In Deuteronomy 21, it speaks of the stubborn, rebellious, gluttonous, drunkard son. He's to be stoned with stones till he die. In Exodus 21:12, it says, "He that smiteth the man that he die, take him from mine altar that he die." So see, there was a death curse that came on someone who killed someone. If someone stole or smiteth his mother or father, they were put to death. Smite means to strike either lightly or severely. So those are things that I'm wondering. If people have done these things, could it be why they have some of these incurable diseases that is causing them to die? So I'm gonna study that out a whole lot, you know, because here's the answer. If you have stricken your mother or daddy lightly or severely, repent. Yes. Doing it with your tongue, smiting them with your mouth. Well, that's down there. Whosoever curseth father or mother shall be put to death. That's Exodus 21:17. Men strive and hurt a woman with child that her fruit depart. It says if no mischief follows, then the man will be punished however the husband sees fit. But if mischief follows, life for a life. So there's a lot of things in the Bible that say you shall die. God says, "I suffer a witch not to live." Maybe that could cause them to be sick unto death. In other places it says, "That man shall be cut off from his people forever." That kind of sounds like death. I'm going to study that out. But think about it. If you've done anything in your life that is worthy of death, repent. Just, you know, if something happened and you spent time in jail for it, that's man's punishment. But God's is even more so, that we should repent to God and ask Him what needs to be done. Maybe you need to even go repent to the person. Okay. There's also Matthew 9:2. It says, this is the man that had palsy that they let down through the roof. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. See, he had palsy, but his sin was forgiven him. In Mark 19, let's read that. Mark 9:17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, who hath a dumb spirit. And wherever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Okay, here we see that a demon can be the cause of a sickness. He had a spirit. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I endure you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago is it since this came unto him? And he said, from a child. And often it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. See, that's what the devil does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Let me see how far I'm supposed to go. Okay. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he was like one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. But Jesus was speaking of their unbelief. It is in another account of this, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And then he says a little more, you know, how long will I be with you? This kind comes out but by fasting and prayer. Unbelief takes fasting and prayer to get out. I don't believe there's demons that are stronger than other demons. They may have a more of a stronghold in the person. But Jesus was speaking to their unbelief. But he cast the spirit out, and then the boy could speak and hear. So sometimes demons are behind a sickness. Okay. In Luke 13:10-13, it speaks of a spirit of infirmity. Here is another one. There was a spirit behind the illness. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no way lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. See, he loosed that spirit first from her. Then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. See, healing, Jesus, wherever he went, he healed. He healed them all. Only in his own town could he do no mighty miracles because of their unbelief. You know, my mother said to me one time, she has said it more than once, actually, well, I don't understand how you can go up to Lake Hamilton and help all these people, but you can't do anything with your own family. I said, Mama, Jesus had the same problem. He did, because, you know, they're like, Carla, isn't she? That's their baby. You know, we grew up with her. Who is she? Same thing. Same thing. But also a factor in that is that those who come here are looking for help. It's easy to help people who are looking for help. You can't help a person who's not looking for help. Okay. So the woman had a spirit of infirmity. Did she have osteoporosis, arthritis, scoliosis? We don't know. It just said a spirit of infirmity, and she was bowed over. Okay. We also see in the scripture that sickness sometimes is that the works of God be made manifest. In John 9, 1 through 3, John 9, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, they had grown up with the law, and sin and sickness were connected. They knew that sin caused sickness. They knew that the parents' sin could cause sickness. So they're asking Jesus, which one, him or his parents, that he was born blind? In verse 3, Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. See, sickness is, and it's sickness is like everything else. It's random. It doesn't, it's not, it says that Jesus is not a respecter of persons. Well, neither is the devil. He'll hit whoever he can hit. And he hits with sickness. He hits with trouble. He hits with attacks. Jesus already told us, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he tells us later, he's given us everything we need to overcome. Sometimes, you know, when trouble came to my house, I had just begun to be called to teach, to move in deliverance, and I mean all hell broke loose in our house. And I was confused. You know, what's going on? I wasn't doing these things so that this would happen, but when trouble came, it was like, wait a minute, why is this happening? Well, Jesus, it happened to Jesus. Whatever you see that happened to Jesus, you're going to have the same thing. He said, they hated me before they hated you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they're going to try to kill me, they're going to try to kill you. If they're going to persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Why are we so shocked at that? But I had an aunt that said, have you stopped to think that maybe you're doing something that's bringing all this trouble to you? And I said, you sound like Job's friends. I mean, really? What was Job doing? The Word says he was the most righteous man on the earth at the time. Now, we can find some stuff in there. You know, he was sacrificing, trying to cover his kids that were partying and, you know, not living right. So he said, the very thing I feared came upon me. We can point fingers and say, oh, he had fear. That's why. No, God said he was the most righteous man at the time. I'm not going to argue with God or try to find the reason. That story of Job is really to prove Job's faithfulness to God. That's what it's about. See, Job, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. That was to prove Job's faithfulness, not that God will tear down the hedge and let the devil have you. That's not what that story is about. Okay, in John 11, verse 4 of Lazarus, it says, when Jesus heard, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified by it. Did God bring the sickness? No. No. In Acts 10:38, you know, I had a lot of questions when I was born again, and I had all the same questions everybody has. But this settled it for me. Acts 10:38. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So if they needed healing, that meant they had some kind of sickness. And it says that they were oppressed of the devil. So sickness is, some people really believe that God gives them sickness. Now, you can do things to cause punishment to come on yourself. But you did that. You did it. Not God. Okay. Unforgiveness can be a reason. Based on James 5:15 a while ago that I read, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So if that sin is unforgiven, then there can be sickness attached to that unforgiven sin. So when you come and you ask for prayer, it may be a sin that you can't even remember. It's an unforgiven sin. But when you do what the Word says, it says, If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. See, that's a double blessing there. You get healed and forgiven. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness is a sin. It's not an option. It's not something you can choose to hang on to. Well, you can, but you're going to pay for it. The account of the man in Matthew 18, he had a debt. The man he owed said, sell his family and collect all. He is begging for mercy. I don't have it. Please don't do this. I don't have it. But if you will just give me time, I will repay thee all. The man had mercy and compassion on the one who had the debt and forgave him all. Do y'all know that story? Matthew 18. Then he turns around and goes out and attacks a man wanting the little bit that he owes him. It says, and his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors. Dr. Null used to talk about the rack, you know, that they would tie the hands and tie the legs and stretch the guy. That was a tormentor. That word tormentors means a torturer. It means pain. It means toil. It means toss or vex. That's a lot going on there. You can just be vexed, and that's enough. Can't sleep. You can't eat. You have no peace. That's what happens to you when you have unforgiveness. It's serious. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not peace as the world gives. We can have His peace, perfect peace, where you can lay down at night and have sweet sleep. Maybe judgment has brought sickness on you. Matthew 7:1-2 says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, or whatever severity you judge with, it shall be measured to you again. How many of us have watched somebody that has any kind of ailment and said, it couldn't possibly be that bad? Now, I've not done that because I learned my lesson about judging. Unless you have been in their exact place, you better be quiet. But a lot of people have judged people who have been sick, or how they acted when they learned they were sick, or any of those things, and judged them, and guess what? That sickness can come on them. Have you judged someone? If you're having a problem, have you judged someone that had that problem? Okay, here are some hindrances to healing. First of all, fear and unbelief. Fear and unbelief can hinder you from being healed. Let's face it, we act on what we believe, right? You know how a person believes by the way they act. You know, the Word says that judgment must begin at the house of God. And I always looked at that like God's judgment was going to come, and it is. It's going to begin at the house of God. But what he showed me about that judgment is we judge God by the way we act. We judge. If he says, judge not, and we stand and judge somebody, then we're judging God that what he said wasn't really true. And that's what started all this mess. Eve decided to not believe what God said. And she did it anyway. It's not good. James says, if you're doers of the word and not hearers, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Belief is synonymous with faith. Fear indicates lack of faith. James called it dead faith. If you have faith without works is dead. So if you say you have faith and then something comes into your life and you fall apart, that's dead faith. Because faith stands. Faith will get you through it. Fear is a faith killer. Faith is a fear killer. Perfect love casts out fear. That's what 1 John 4:18 says. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear hath torment. We're back to the torment. Are you having torment? You need some more faith. How do you do that? It says faith worketh by love. That's Galatians 5:6. And God is love. That's 1 John 4:8. God is love. If you have fear, then you need more of the love of God. Because perfect love, and that is God's love, casts out fear. When I was in torment, mental torment, I had an encounter with Jesus. And he deposited his love. He just deposited his love. And when it was done, of course, he spoke some things to me. But his mouth didn't move. That was cool. He was just looking at me, and it was love. I could feel it, you know. It was just awesome. He poured in his love, and my fears went out. No more phobias, no more mental torment, no more death wishes, no more anger, no more all that stuff. Love drove out. So whatever your need is, ask God for more of his love, because he'll give it to you. He wants you to have it. There's a little saying I love. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. Nobody was there. Don't you like that? Fear of what? Hebrews 2:15 says, through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. You know, we've been fearing death ever since that, as soon as they ate and knew they were naked, they heard God walking in the garden, and they hid. They were fearful of death, because God said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And that's what happens to us. Feel a little lump? Fear of death. You know? Because, you know, we all know what a lump means, right? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, fear is a spirit, an evil spirit. So what do? You command it to go in the name of Jesus. That's how you cast out all spirits, in the name of Jesus. My son introduced me to a girl recently, and she said, I was in California. She said, well, I understand you were here to speak at a conference. And I said, yes. She said, well, what kind of a conference is it? And I said, it's kind of unconventional. I said, I'm just going to tell you like it is. I cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And she goes, oh. But we have the name of Jesus to cast out demons. It's a weapon. We have the Word. That's a weapon. We have the Holy Ghost. That's a weapon. He is a weapon. Wield your weapon. Or is it yield your weapon? Wield. The Word of God. Now, when I first, we get into some bad habits. Fear is a habit, too. We form some bad habits because we are programmed to react in a certain way. And fear was a bad habit. I didn't have fear anymore, but the reaction was kind of still there. And so I had to find some bullets to load my weapon with. Psalm 112:7 says, I will not fear, or it says, the man who trusts the Lord will not fear. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So that became one of my bullets. I will not fear. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And I'm telling you that it changes something in the spirit. When you say that, it cuts the fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. I have not been given the spirit, not a, it's the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. You know, I hear people that don't really know how to fight when a sickness comes. They'll go to the doctor because they're scared or they want to know what it is, if it doesn't go away. And then the doctor tells them what it is, and then they say, but I don't receive that. Well, ignoring it is not the answer. You can't ignore it. Now, when my son was about 8 years old, he had a wart on his finger. Now, that's not a serious thing. A wart's not a serious thing, but who wants a wart? He's a perfectionist, so it really bothered him. And his little friend down the road had warts. Probably it's a virus, you know, so that maybe that's where he got the wart to begin with. And the boy was always going to get his warts burned off. And he said, Mama, I want you to take me to the doctor so I can get this wart burned off. And I said, well, you know, that's going to hurt. They're going to burn it off, and it's going to hurt. I said, would you rather go get it burned off, which doesn't mean it's going to stay gone, you know, down the road, him. He's having them burned off all the time, and they come right back. It's a virus. A doctor cannot heal a virus, but Jesus can. So how about we take it to Jesus? And he said, okay. So every day, Mama, that wart looks bigger to me. Well, he warted me with that wart. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do with this kid? And he said, make the wart his responsibility. Oh, okay. So next time he came to me, I said, wait, every time you see that wart, now this is your wart, not my wart. You're going to have to speak to this wart. I spoke to it, but you're going to have to, it's your wart. Now, I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, wart. I speak death to you from the root out, and I command you to dry up and fall off my finger in Jesus' name. That's what I want you to say. So he started doing that, I guess. I never heard him do it. But about 5 days later, he was climbing a tree, and he came running in. I thought he had hurt himself. Mama, Mama, my wart fell off. And I'm not kidding, we couldn't even tell where it had been because it healed from the inside out and pushed the wart off. Now, if you have an ailment, you don't just say, I refuse to believe that I have a sore throat. I refuse it. I don't. And here's a good one. The devil is a liar. Well, yeah, but that's not the answer either. He knows he's a liar. No, you have to take responsibility for whatever's happening in your body, and you have to speak to it. They're usually caused by a virus, colds, you know, lots of viruses, intestinal things, upset stomachs. All these things are viruses. So you got to speak death to them in the name of Jesus. The spirit of infirmity, I bind that spirit of infirmity. I rebuke it. I break its power in the name of Jesus. And I command that to go in the name of Jesus. That's what you have to do. And you do it every day. If you went to the doctor, here, take these pills 4 times a day. Well, what's wrong with doing that 4 times a day? I say, add it. You're taking them 4 times a day? Add this to your pills and see. Next time, maybe you won't need the pills. You can just speak to it. Oh, yes, goss pills. Thank you, Kevin. That's what they are, goss pills. And listen, you can apply the word. Now, Jerry tells a story about, I hope I'm not stealing it from your lesson tomorrow, but it's about this experiment that was done with rice, cooked rice. Was it cooked or raw? It was cooked rice. And they put them on a shelf a little distance away from each other. Same lighting, same temperature, everything. But one jar, they would say, "You're putrid, you're horrible, you stink, you're nasty." And then the other one would say, "Oh, you're such beautiful rice. Oh, we just bless you," and all this stuff. And after about so many days, that jar was rotten, and that one was still as good as it was the first day. Now, there is power in the Word. And Jesus is the Word. And when we use His words, it says in Isaiah that they don't come back void. They will go out, and they will accomplish that which it was sent out to accomplish. That's right. And it'll do the same thing for you. He told Jeremiah, "I have come for your word." See, you speak the word. I told, who was it the other day? Oh, it was my husband. He was tired. He kept saying, "I'm tired. I'm so tired." I said, "You need to quit saying that, Mike." I said, "Every time you say, 'I'm tired,' it's like going, and tired comes." We don't know how we use our words, and we think we are confirming the word, but actually the word is confirming it. So use your words to get rid of it. Okay. I usually, and you know, preventive medicine is good. Now, I used preventive medicine before I used Jesus. You know, you can ward off a sinus infection if you take a decongestant and an antihistamine. It'll keep it from going into an infection. But I say, I commit my body to the Lord. I thank Him that He died on the cross, that He took every sickness and disease, every affliction known to man, and I cover myself with the blood of Jesus this day. See, that's preventive medicine. You do that and in Jesus' name. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on my God, my Jesus. Okay? And like if you get fearful, you have those scriptures you can use. Find you some scriptures. Or sing a song. You can ward off Satan with a song. When we first, I mean, we had some pretty fearful things coming our way at one time. And I could always tell when I would be fearful, I would start singing, "I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider fell into the sea." And boy, the more you sang it, the happier you got. And fear was gone. And sometimes I wouldn't be fearful, but I'd hear Mike, "I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously." And I would join in. I don't know what he's feeling fearful about, but I don't want him feeling fearful. Okay, another hindrance is tradition. The tradition of men makes the Word of God of no effect. Our reference point should be the Bible. Our tradition has become in our society, and even among the church, sadly. We bring our spiritual needs to God. We bring our physical needs to the doctor. And we go to the financial institutions for our financial problems and then get in more problems. Because the borrower is the slave to the lender. That's in Proverbs. I don't know exactly where, but it's there. And it's true. The borrower is the slave to the lender. The Word says, "Owe no man anything but to love him." Now, that's a hard way when you're accustomed to borrowing money to buy everything that you have. And a credit card is like a hot check. It really is. You go out and you just are spending, and there's no money to back it up. That's called a hot check. When my son went off to college, I did not know that the credit cards solicit the people. He called and said, "Hey, Mom, I got an application for such and such a credit card. Do you think I should get one?" I said, "Would you buy a ticket to hell?" I mean, really, that is like buying a ticket to hell. No way. If you don't have the money, don't buy it. Duh. I didn't go to college, and I know that. But I have to tell you something really funny, because Wade had allergies. He hasn't received healing for his allergies yet. So he takes the preventative medicine, and he's a doctor. So he's really convinced that medicine is the way. So he takes his, he went off to medical school, and he called one night, and I'm on the phone, and Mike is on the couch, and I'm saying, okay, those are called like Sudafed, you know, a decongestant, and at night, the antihistamine. And he said, okay. And Mike said, that is funny now. He's in medical school and he's calling you for advice. He said, Wade said, but it worked. Yes, I know it did. That's how I kept you well, because, you know, he wouldn't go the God way after a while. But he'll get back to it when he gets older and wiser. Okay, so tradition, that's what we do. Now, people say God uses doctors, and I don't refute that. But I do say, because I asked the same question, well, Lord, and I looked all through the Bible, I could not find one time where Jesus turned to Luke and asked for help. Not once. And he was a physician. I love the way there were physicians, and there were tax collectors, and there were fishermen, businessmen. All these people were following Jesus, and he was showing them how he caught fish. Jesus didn't even use a fishing pole. He didn't, when he got that money out of the fish's mouth, he didn't go to the bank for it. When he multiplied the bread, the loaves and the bread, the loaves and the fishes, he didn't use man's way. He did it his way. And you know, I wondered myself, the woman with the issue of blood, I looked to see how many times doctors were mentioned, and only three times in the Bible does it mention doctors, and so most of the time that meant like a professional in the word or in the law. Yeah. The woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5:26, it said of her, she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. I wondered if Luke had treated her when he saw her coming in the crowd. Oh, my goodness, here comes that woman, that hopeless woman, that there's no hope for her. All she did was touch Jesus and was healed. I just wondered what old Luke thought about that. Doctors can't really heal much of anything, but they can help you live with it and tolerate it. But Jesus shed every drop of his blood, took every sickness and every disease. Exodus 15:26, he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Can I just tell you what those words mean? And then in verse 5 it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In the New Testament it says, ye were healed. That's past tense, by the way. That's another thing that God showed me. When I pray for people, I don't ask God to heal them because he's already done it. Now, that's a hard one, especially when you're having something in your body. But you begin to apply the finished work of his shed blood to your sickness. See, I really believe that a lot of our prayers are not answered because we're asking him to do things that he told us to do. That's what he showed me. One day I was praying desperately. I was praying day after day after day the same thing. And he said, why are you coming to me with this? Well, that was shocking. Who else is there? But he said, did I say to you that if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you would ask me to move your mountain? Wow. No, Lord, I think you said I would say to the mountain. You see, he had to teach me some new things how to pray. When I pray for people, I say, Lord, I thank you that you shed every drop of your blood to do away with this sickness and this disease. And I ask you to let that become a reality to whoever I'm praying for, because when it becomes a reality, it's already done. Many people, but why isn't God healing me? It's hard to say. He's already done it. When I was begging Him to heal me of chronic allergies, I mean, I had sinus infections twice a year, had pneumonia twice with it. And I read the story of the leper who went to Jesus and said, if you wanted to, you could heal me. He says, I want to, be thou healed. And he was healed immediately. And I was sick as a dog. And I said to the Lord, I'm going to say to you what the leper said. If you wanted to, you could heal me. I'm sick of these sicknesses. And he said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. Well, that was a shock because I didn't know how to do that either. How do you receive it? And then I heard, by faith. And I said, well, then I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it right now. Well, I was still sick as a dog the rest of the day, but the very next morning I woke up, it was all gone. All gone. See, that was a miracle. Okay. The word born means to lift, accept, carry away, and took away. That's what he bore. He bore your grief. Grief means, listen to this, disease or disorder of the body or mind, anxiety, weakness, sickness, affliction, calamity, which means a state of deep distress or misery caused by major misfortune or loss, made sorry, sore, writhing in pain. Now see, the curse that came on the woman was she would suffer multiplied sorrow in childbearing. And when I realized that He took it, Jesus suffered my childbearing pains on the cross. He became the curse, did He not? That was my curse. He became the curse. Why should I have it if He took it? And I had three babies with no pain. That, I didn't even know that was going to happen. But see, it was a reality to me that Jesus took my pain. He carried our sorrows. That means He suffered the burden for it. He labored. He did the labor for it. Sorrows means anguish or extreme pain or distress of the body or mind. Mentally, emotionally, physically, sadness, continued pain or distress, afflictions, any cause of continued pain or distress, blemishes and destruction. He's able to do all of that. He was wounded, injured by cutting or breaking bodily tissue, broken open as with a wedge, profaned or violated or treated with irreverence, abuse, contempt, or to desecrate. That's what they did to Jesus. For our transgression, our rebellion, our sin, our trespass. He was bruised, beat to pieces, broken, destroyed, humbled, to destroy the power or prestige of, smite with sudden hard blows, oppress or treat cruelly, to burden the spirit by harsh cruelty. That's what they did to Jesus. For our iniquities, our perversities, our moral evils, our faults, our mischiefs, our wrongdoings, and our sin, the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. He took the correction, the discipline, the rebuke for whatever's keeping us from having peace. He took that so we can have peace. That's a pretty good exchange. Have you given it to Him? Peace means safe, well, or whole, healthy, prosperous, at rest, happy, friendly, complete, and restored. That covers a lot, doesn't it? His stripes, by His stripes, His black and blue marks, His bruises, His hurts, His wounds, and His welts, by His stripes we are healed, made well, healthy, mended, cured, repaired, made whole, and that means free from defect or damage, intact, having all its parts. That's what He did for us. So, I'm going to pray. I just have a few scriptures here. about the confusion as to the origin, and I've already read the one in Acts 10:38 where it says, all who were oppressed of the devil. John 10:10 says that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that you might have life, abundant life. There's no excuse really for us as His people to not be, that not be a reality in the church. Mark 1:30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and straightway they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. See, Jesus got rid of the fever, so it couldn't have been from God, because God, Jesus is not going to work against God. They work together in unity. And if it is your will, we hear this a lot, if it is your will, but until we see sickness as an enemy, we will never effectively come against it if we're confused about why we have it or where it came from. Because I'll tell you, sometimes the enemy of our soul, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, sometimes will come to you and accuse you just to distract you from these things that I've just told you here, to keep you from coming against it with the authority of His blood and His name. Because, well, let's see, what have I done? Sometimes you can get so far off into that you don't even do what is needed to get rid of it. Now, we should always examine ourselves. I'm not saying that. We should examine ourselves because we read the things that can open us up to sickness. But then again, sickness is. It's in this world that He's given us everything to come against it. Okay, so y'all are ready to go after these sicknesses? First of all, I want to give you a few minutes to come before the Lord. If there's anything that I mentioned that is in your life, unforgiveness, sin, maybe even some of those things that are worthy of death, striking your parents, cursing your mom or dad, adultery, any of those things, search your heart. Let God search your heart. Father, I ask You to come and shine Your light on our hearts and our minds and our memories, Lord, to bring up those things that have not been repented of or been forgiven for that could be causing us problems in our bodies or our minds, even our spirits. We can be in spiritual torment as well. So just ask the Lord to forgive you, repent of these things, and be specific when you repent. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank You for hanging on the cross voluntarily for each one of us, for taking our punishment, for carrying our sorrows, for providing the healing of our sickness and disease, anything that keeps us from peace. I thank You that You took it on the cross. I thank You that You didn't leave one thing undone, Lord. Our provision is in Your shed blood, in Your finished work of the cross. Right now, I bind and break the power of the curse of death right now in Jesus' name. I break the curse of death off each one of us in the name of Jesus. I command it to go in Jesus' name. And I speak life, the life of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I speak to every cell that has died in your body as a result of the spirit of death at work. In fact, Lord, right now, and y'all agree with me in this, I ask You to forgive me for allowing the curse of death to work in my life. I ask You to forgive me, and I command it to go now in the name of Jesus. I understand that Your shed blood took care of the curse of death that Adam and Eve brought upon us in Jesus' name. And everything that I have done, even abusing my body by laying out in the sun when I was young, thinking it was cool to be cooked. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for putting things in my body that were harmful to my body. Forgive me for cooperating with the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. And I receive right now the spirit of your life, resurrection life. I speak resurrection life into every person, every body, every physical body in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of infirmity that's right under the curse of death. The spirit of infirmity, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. I command you, I loose you from that spirit of infirmity, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. I take dominion over every antichrist spirit. I bind you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of fear, go in the name of Jesus. And unbelief, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. I bind every hindering spirit, every blocking spirit. Megormisibib, that fear, terror on every side. Fear, I bind you and break your power. Fear of death, I break that bondage of the fear of death off of you in Jesus' name. Fear of the dark, fear of failure, fear of cancer, fear of losing your mind, fear of nursing homes, fear of needles, bugs, whatever your phobia is, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. Command it to leave your body, whatever your phobia is. I bind and break the generationally inherited curses that came down your mother's bloodline right now in Jesus' name. I break all generationally inherited curses that came down from your father's bloodline in Jesus' name. Name those diseases and command them to go. They have been broken. Their power has been broken by the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus Christ and has no power over you. Begin to exercise that power of the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus towards your infirmities. I bind and break all cancer, diabetes, arthritis, skin disorders, eye problems, all mental and emotional illnesses. I bind you and break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. All bipolar, ADD, ADHD, confusion, schizophrenia, all depression, oppression, suicide thoughts, death wishes, in the name of Jesus, you go. All arrested development, I bind you and break your power. I command every mind to come miraculously to the age of the person that it is in. I speak healthy minds. I release the mind of Christ. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have His mind. Activate that every day. Command whatever your problem is. Patty saying scatterbrain, go in the name of Jesus. All forgetfulness, go. Confusion, go in the name of Jesus. All heart disease, I bind you and break your power. All heart disease, valve problems, enlarged hearts, circulation problems, heart attacks, I bind you and break your power. Go in the name of Jesus. All diseases of the muscles, all diseases of the artery, blood diseases, go in the name of Jesus. All bone and joint diseases, I bind you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. I apply the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus to osteoporosis, bone cancers, what are some other? All spinal problems with discs and the muscles in the back, muscle spasms, all skeletal problems right now, I command you to go. I break your power. All joint pains and neck problems and knee problems and foot problems, go in the name of Jesus. All digestive disorders, all stomach problems, esophagus problems, chronic indigestion, acid reflux, GERD, go in the name of Jesus. Ulcers, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. All leaky gut, pancreas problems, irritable bowel syndrome, gallbladder problems, go in the name of Jesus. From the mouth to the rectum, I speak healing. Healing in the name of Jesus. All malfunctions, incontinence, sexual disorders, disorders of the eyes, all the organs, I speak healing to every organ. If you've got problems in your organs, bind it, break its power and command it to get out of you in Jesus' name. I apply the shed and resurrected blood to all the organs in the body in Jesus' name. Major problems and minor problems, all skin disorders, all eczema, psoriasis, bacterial and viral infections. I speak death to every bacterial and viral infection in the bodies in the name of Jesus and command them to go. Yes, skin cancers and itch and warts, psoriasis, everything, go in Jesus' name. All skin cancers, go in the name of Jesus. All breast cancer, lung cancer, uterine cancer, ovarian, bladder, cervical, kidney, liver, brain, blood, bone, go in the name of Jesus. Prostate cancer, ovarian, cervical, every cancer, go in the name. Eyes, cancer of the eye, cancer of the mouth, go in the name of Jesus. All cancer, I speak death to you in the name of Jesus and command you to dry up. Go. All cyst tumors, go in the name of Jesus. All abnormal growths, masses, thicknesses, shadows, spots, anything they see on an x-ray that shouldn't be there, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. All muscular diseases, muscular dystrophy, muscular sclerosis, all degenerative diseases, go in the name of Jesus. All respiratory ailments, breathing problems, COPD, lung problems, all lung problems, go. Emphysema, asthma, go in the name of Jesus. Allergies, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Chronic sinus infections, ear problems, deafness, go in the name of Jesus. All ear problems, I command every deaf ear to be opened, every stopped up ear, every inner ear problem. What's that thing that makes you dizzy? Vertigo. I bind you and break your power. All vertigo, go in the name of Jesus. Ringing in the ears. Tinnitus, go in the name of Jesus. Jaw problems, TMJ. Teeth problems. Gum problems, go in the name of Jesus. We just apply the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus. Now I break all self-inflicted curses. All self-inflicted word-spoken curses. I can't remember a thing. I do things so stupid. I am so clumsy. I break those word-spoken curses in the name of Jesus that are self-inflicted and even those that were spoken against you by classmates, brothers, sisters, mothers, aunts, uncles, whoever, in the name of Jesus. I break those word-spoken curses. I break the curses that when you get a certain age, you got to have this. You just wait. When you get that age, you'll have this. We break those curses in the name of Jesus. All female problems. If you have female problems, name it and tell it to go in the name of Jesus. And, you know, it's not a one-time thing. It's just like when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, they didn't see anything happen right away. When they came back, the fig tree was dead. You know, don't lose hope just because you said it once. Like you're 4 times a day, take your medicine. 4 times a day, speak to it. In the name of Jesus. I bind all cultural illnesses. You know, there are some cultures that have, like, sickle cell anemia. That's a cultural illness. And Irish people have certain illnesses. And German people have certain illnesses. I bind those cultural diseases in the name of Jesus and break them. We are all Jesus people now. Those cultures shouldn't have power over us anymore. Well, Father, I don't see any more on my list. In the name of Jesus, if there's anything here that I have failed to call, that doesn't mean God doesn't want to heal it. Jesus Christ has shed His blood. I apply the shed blood right now to every person here. The shed and resurrected blood of Jesus. And I say, bodies be made whole in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord, that you wanted us to be well and whole and at peace. Lord, I just loose the peace of God upon your people. I bless them with peace. I bless them with sound minds. I bless them with whole, healthy bodies in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.